Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Secular Yakking.
Blogging out loud.
A show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 310-982-4162. Welcome to Secular Yakking. On tonight's show, the devil made me do it, Allah made me do it, and because Jesus. Also, we introduced the Potter Award. This being our first show, I thought it would be a good idea to go over who we are and what this broadcast is about. I am Robert, the guy behind the technology. I am passionate about secular activism and the separation of church and state. I am heavily involved in several local groups, and I am also a humanist celebrant. That means I can do weddings, give invocations, speeches, whatever. Sort of like a clergy-level humanist. I have identified as a secular humanist for about 4 years now and have been an atheist for at least 18 years. I grew up in a vaguely non-religious home. I am the grandson of a Southern Baptist preacher, you know, all fire and brimstone and such.
That's fun.
Yeah. And this is Amy, my lovely wife.
I'm Amy, and I was raised basically Catholic, did the whole Sunday school thing. Mom, not so religious, but, you know, you get involved with a guy who is, and hey, guess what? We're religious now. Did the whole Catholic school from grades 5 to 7. Even as a small child in Sunday school, I'd question the whole, how did the Noah's Ark thing work? And yet they always give us the pretty rainbows and unicorns version and avoid the question. Became an adult, looking for people who thought the same way, kind of came across bunch of things on the thanks to the internet, actually, and lo and behold, now I'm active and full throttle going forward.
Yeah, this is, we've been having a great time doing the secular activism stuff, so we figured, you know, it's time to really get moving and do a podcast about it and let people know what we've really thought about it.
You've been asking for years, and I just basically gave in. That's how it worked.
Yeah, that's generally how it does work. So, now that you know the who, let's get on to the what of this. This is Secular Yakking. An idea brought about by our love of talking to each other on our leisurely drives to pretty much anywhere and everywhere. We've always talked in the cars ever since we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a millennium or two ago. So I thought it'd be a great idea for the show. After months of pushing and prodding and some rather convincing arguments, I finally got Amy into the studio to work on some stuff for another show I was thinking about doing. And as they say, well, the rest is history. Secular Yakking was born.
As well as me getting a lot of work done that needs to be done.
Yeah, sort of a tit-for-tat kind of thing going
exactly.
on there.
Exactly.
So, let's move on to the news, since that's next on the list. First up in news, principal blames Satan for racist remarks from the friendly atheist. On Friday, during the high school graduation ceremony for TNT Academy, a private school just outside of Atlanta, founder and director Nancy Gordiek, I'm not sure if that's how that's spelled, said, but whatever.
Not likely.
Accidentally dismissed the crowd earlier than expected. So as a student was trying to give a speech, there were people walking out of the ceremony. It pissed off Gordiek, who began reprimanding the crowd from the stage. Then it took an ugly turn. Yeah, did you guys catch that? She said, look who's leaving, all the black people.
Wow.
So, yeah, now we have a little bit of what she thinks about, obviously, black people. And the video goes on a little bit more with a whole lot of yelling and screaming. I didn't think we really needed that. But it actually gets worse than that.
Great.
In an apology emailed to parents, Gordiek laid the blame on her for her comments on, you guessed it, Satan.
You gotta love it.
Yeah. Quote, a terrible mistake on my part of the graduation ceremony on Friday night. The devil was in the house and came out of my mouth. I deeply apologize for my racist comment and hope that forgiveness in your hearts. That's actually in context what she said, in your hearts. So obviously something didn't work out right with her grammatical.
So it's okay for her to lay blame and, you know, not take responsibility for herself as usual. That's, you know, par for the course.
Yeah, that's typical for most Christian arguments when they do something wrong. It's scapegoating to the umpteenth extent because, well, Satan made me do it, so obviously.
And in all honesty, when they say things like that on the fly, that's how they honestly think. It's kind of like when you drink and you say stuff. That's kind of what you're thinking inside. So, you know, that's your trueness, you know?
Right, yeah. She was under the gun, and she was worried. She was trying just to make an excuse for her own racist comment, knowing that they're wrong.
Of course she
right?
does.
So, I mean, it's typical what we see from this type of person.
It's still unbelievable. I mean, truly.
So, if you have a comment on this, you can call us in at 310-982-4162. So we're going to move on a little bit to our next story. And this comes to us via CNN. At least that's where I read it. It's been many other sources, but here it is. Two killed in Draw Muhammad event in Garland, Texas. On Sunday, May 3rd, two gunmen attempted to interrupt a free speech event in Garland, Texas, called Muhammad Art Exhibit and Cartoon Contest, where attendees were encouraged to draw depictions of the Islamic prophet Muhammad, which is considered blasphemous in Islam. The two gunmen were killed by two police officers helping with security. So what are you thinking about that situation where the two gunmen were obviously, well, they were Islamists, right? Later on in the story, it goes on about how they were avenging the prophet Muhammad in order because they were drawing pictures of Muhammad.
Right.
So, I mean, I think on that level, this is exactly what's supposed to happen because cartoons don't aren't a reason to incite violence as retribution for drawing a cartoon. You know what you need to do there, right?
Go ahead. What?
Draw a cartoon.
That's what I was thinking. Once again, you know, it's, you know, in the name of religion, who can we kill? What
right.
violence can we ensue?
Right. And, you know, lately we've seen this with the Charlie Hebdo attacks. Years ago we saw it with the Dutch cartoonist, and we saw it with Salman Rushdie. Anytime Islam is attacked by their standards, they're being blasphemy, the first thing is to issue a fatwa, right?
Right.
You know, that's just silly.
It's sad.
Free speech with violence. It's just not right. You should attack free speech with more free speech. That's how it works.
Well, I also think you should be strong enough in your beliefs to not have to go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. But apparently they have to defend their poor, indefensible Muhammad, even though, you know, he represents Allah, who is apparently all-powerful.
Well, and the same goes for Christianity. It's the same way. You attack them, and they can't stand strong enough in their beliefs to, you know, stand up and be fine with whatever free speech you have to say. They have to act out on it.
Right.
And, you know, it's just sad.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But there's a little more to this story. The event was run by American Freedom Defense Initiative, which is considered an anti-Muslim group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. The group has drawn criticism for inviting violence by insulting Muslims. Now, this group is very... very big into, they're very pro-Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're basically the extremist of the Tea Party type, right?
Oh, that's great.
So they've put up signs in New York City that are very anti-Muslim, right? And they've been criticized on being so anti-Muslim, and this was the biggest thing. Even the mayor of the city said, you know, they shouldn't have come into the city and invited this violence. But my point to that is they're exercising their free speech. And again, it's not inviting violence. Their issue. It's not a school issue. Although they probably knew it was going to happen.
Right, right.
But they were trying to make that point, which we do that every year. I mean, we have a Draw Muhammad Day every single year in the atheist community.
Right.
Right. And we know we're doing it to basically poke them in the eye.
Of course,
so,
definitely.
But, you know, I don't think anybody's ever been killed for Draw Muhammad Day.
No, it's very, excuse me, it's very, you know, interesting that now it's all about drawing. And then, you know, who knows, months from now, it'll be some other thing that, you know, it's all about. And we're going to start picking on that next.
Right.
You know?
So it basically comes down to if your religion is so indefensible. Why are you still in it? Is what it comes down to me. If you have to defend your religion with violence, it's not the right religion.
Well, that's pretty much all of them.
Well, I know that, but that's what it comes down to for me. And then in our third story, from Raw Story, atheist mom gets death threats over Bible complaints. The American Humanist Association sent a letter to the Duncan Public Schools after a mother informed them of a third grade teacher placing Bibles on the student's desk. The school district stopped giving away the Bibles after the Satanic Temple asked to hand out their own literature. Christians in the town got angry over the lack of Bibles in public school and sent her messages like, snitches end up in ditches, and run her out of town.
Unbelievable.
So, she's now taking her son out of school for the time being, fearing for his safety.
Once again, I say to them, they, you know, always try to convert us, and yet they behave like that, and we're the immorals. And yet, why would we ever want to join anything that behaves like that? And that goes for pretty much a lot of the stories that you hear out there, you know?
Right. So this isn't an isolated event. This happens a lot.
Exactly.
And it's been happening ever since the 60s, right, with Murray Madeleine O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
When she fought to get prayer out of school, she got the same kind of backlash.
Mm-hmm.
I see it all the time in news reports how families have had to move because they reported a church and state violation in the school. And it's ridiculous that we have to deal with this kind of retribution.
Right.
Simply because we're standing up for what we think is right and what is actually legal.
Exactly. And, you know, it's basically any time you're going against Christianity, if you're not for what they believe in and what they follow, then you're the enemy. And it's so unbelievable at how nasty they can get towards anyone
right.
who's not like them.
And I have a feeling these aren't the worst of the comments that she's got, because I've gotten worse comments than this.
Oh, I've seen so many awful comments that's like, oh my gosh, I
right.
can't
and
believe
I
they can behave like
right,
that.
Right, and I haven't reported anybody for church and state violations. I couldn't imagine what happens if I ever do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I constantly go back to the, you know, the number one question you get as a non-believer is, where do you get your morals from? And yet their actions that they take are just so horrendous, and it's unbelievable that they go at us about our morals.
Right. So here's the thing. I think they are getting their morals from their holy scriptures.
Well,
obviously.
They're reading it, yeah.
So when the most extreme people in your religion are as violent as they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with your religion, because your most extreme people are generally reading the scriptures literally, right? Your most fundamental people.
Right.
So,
at least you would help them.
Well, that's the whole idea. They're just down to the fundamentals of the religion, and those seem to be the worst when it comes to the bullying and the violence.
Yes, but at the same time, you know, how many times have you, you know, quoted something from the Bible that they said, oh, well, it wasn't supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to take it like that.
Yeah,
you know,
you're taking
kind
it
of
out of context, right?
Right.
So there's no context ever for genocide. I don't care what you're doing. I don't think there's a context that makes genocide right.
No, absolutely. But at the same time, if you read the Bible as is, I mean,
that context makes it right.
Exactly.
At least in the eyes of the true blue Bible believers.
Right.
I mean, there's enough in there that I can just absolutely say there's no context that would make most of that stuff right.
No, I agree.
So we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, so after the break, we will discuss more on what's going on and fill you up to date on everything. And we will see you on the flip side.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Secular Yakking. If you want to call in and talk to the host, it's 310-982-4162. So it looks like it's time for the Potter Award.
And what is the Potter Award?
So the Potter Award is given to the smuggest and most pompous public figure of the week.
Excellent.
This award is based on the character of Henry J. Potter from the classic movie It's a Wonderful Life. We all remember what an ass that guy was.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
I like it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good quote from that movie. Well, it's a little bit of editing at the end there, but that's okay. That's actually the voice of the guy that played Harry, Henry Potter, not Harry Potter.
Wrong movie.
Wow, that's a different Potter completely. So this week's Mr. Potter Award goes to the Del Norte County Supervisor. Now, I will explain to you that that is spelled D-E-L-N-O-R-T-E, which should be pronounced Del Norte. Right, because Becky will probably tell me yes, but they pronounce it Del Norte.
Okey-dokey.
I'm not sure why. I'm having a feeling so they don't feel so Hispanic.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. So, County Supervisor Roger Gitlin. Let's listen to what he says about an issue. And this is in regards to an In God We Trust plaque going up in their county offices.
And then all you who are here today to speak on this issue. This isn't about religion, Ms. Souter. I want you to understand that very clearly. I'm a Jewish person. This isn't about Christianity. This is about God. It's that umbrella that is within us, within me, maybe perhaps not within everybody, and they're atheists. So this is atheism versus theism. That's all it is. It isn't about whether someone's a Muslim or an LDS member. This is about God, and does it define us? Is it in our fabric? This is do we want to adopt this as our national motto? And in Del Norte County, as I mentioned, there are a number of other governances across the country, and in California, cities and counties, and state. It appears in our House of Representatives. It appears in our Senate. So this is about God.
So I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. We're going to the lines. Hey, guys, sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulties with our internet.
You got to love live.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Fun stuff.
All right, so if you were that caller, go ahead and call back in. We'll see if we can get you back on the show. Otherwise, let's go ahead with this In God We Trust issue we were talking about. If you remember, Supervisor Gitlin said, this is not about religion. This is about atheism versus theism.
And what county was this?
This is Del Norte County, California.
Okay. California, okay.
So that strikes me as really odd that he says it's not about religion, but then in the next couple seconds, he says it's atheism versus theism. I don't know a whole lot of theists who aren't religious, and I certainly don't know a lot of atheists who are religious.
I mean,
so it is a religious issue.
Pretty much a contradiction, because it's exactly what it seems to be.
Right. So, and I've been following this for a while. Some of you guys that know me know that I run another project called the Original Motto Project, which I really want to get In God We Trust out of our city and county buildings, because there's that huge drive from In God We Trust America that's running this. And that's kind of what I do on a side project, a good deal of time, and we'll talk about that probably in a future episode. But this guy right here, if that were it, he would probably still qualify for the Potter Award, but that's not all he did. So I found out about the resolution they were going to pass in Del Norte County the night before. So working with the Original Motto Project, I immediately sent off an email saying, hey, can you consider our resolution to get E Pluribus Unum on there instead or as an alternative or in addition, right? So he wrote back not too long after that, and he seemed genuinely interested in what I had to say, and he asked me for some more information on the project. I gave him, you know, a very nice reply, very professional, told him what we were, what we were doing, and why we were doing it. I didn't receive anything else till after the council had made its decision, which was, of course, to put up the plaque.
Of course.
Well, I watched this, obviously, because it's what part of what I do. And during that, I realized he was the one that put in the resolution. I was like, oh, man, seriously? This guy's put it in, and he emailed me back. He had no intention of being...
None whatsoever.
So after the council voted, I got an email back. And I'm going to quote to you what he said. Not interested in your message, Mr. Ray. I wish you no success in achieving your goals, and thank you for advising me of Venice, Florida. I'll be sending the mayor and council members in Venice a letter expressing my hope for their immediate rescission of its ill-advised decision. Delano County Board supervisors, by unanimous consent this morning, has adopted In God We Trust as its motto.
Aren't we smug?
Yes. Which, of course, I sent him another professional reply, which basically called him an ass, and I would make sure his message of love would be spread to the public. Which it was picked up in the local paper a couple days later by an anonymous source.
Anonymous, of course.
Now, I did some research on this guy. He sits on the committee for the Del Norte Tea Party Patriots and is the founder of the Santa Clarita Minutemen. And for someone who calls himself a patriot and a Minuteman, he's certainly no patriot. And this is why Supervisor Roger Gitlin is this week's Potter Award winner.
Absolutely.
Well, that appears to be all we have for this week.
This will be a short week, being our first episode, kind of getting the kinks and everything worked out, especially with technicals. And...
Yep. Oh, we do have a caller. Hang on 1 second. So maybe not all we have.
Hopefully it works.
Hi, caller. 703.
Yes, sir. That's me. Hi, Robert. This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Good to
How
talk.
Are you?
It's good to hear you guys. I'm doing great, and I'll be honest, I'm loving the show, by the way. I think you guys make a great couple, a great pair. And I wanted to kind of make my mark in history. I wanted to be the first caller ever to secular yakking, so that way one day, 5 or 10 years from now, when you guys are like having your anniversary episode, you'll probably be on TV by that point, I'll be... the history maker. I'll be the first caller ever to secular yak.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That is great, Tom. So, so for those of you who don't recognize Tom's voice, Tom runs secular radio off of whidbeair.org. It's a great show. I listen to it as much time as I get. I don't get a lot of time, but I do enjoy his show.
Oh, yeah. You make it a point to listen to his show. Like, I'm not doing anything right now.
Leave me alone.
Oh,
Tom's
that's
on.
So nice. So you're the one.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah,
hopefully we're as successful as you someday.
No, you know, you want to aim a little bit higher than me, that's for sure. But I'm loving this conversation. You guys make a good pair.
Well, we've been practicing for, 21 years?
Yes, and, you know, since day one in the car, we can go forever just talking and talking, and we just decided, hey, you know, we should just basically blog out loud to people about it.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I've been trying to get her to do this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And you've been gung-ho. You were ready to do it probably years ago, right? But Amy didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I think probably about 2 years ago, right after I was on your show and then Dustin and Wes's show.
Yeah, he got the bug.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got the radio bug. Had to get on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
and I will admit, it's actually pretty fun.
It is fun. I mean, these are things that guys like us, we talk about anyway, all the time.
Right.
You know?
We figure we might as well talk about it and let other people know what we think about it.
And the Potter Award, that's great. And certainly the one, the guy you gave it to this week is deserving of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think in a couple of weeks I'm gonna tell people the origin of the Potter Award and why I came up with that name. So when we cover,
I know.
So when I cover a couple of things that happened in the recent past, it'll come up.
Yeah.
Are you gonna really give the origins of it? How you came about that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any other way to do it.
Maybe the next episode.
I think next episode we're gonna cover some past. On In God We Trust stuff, and you know that'll definitely come up.
Cool.
There's so much going
That's
around.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Well, I got you on the line. What's your opinion on some of this stuff?
Well, I mean, it's pretty interesting. You know the lady, you mentioned the lady in Duncan, Oklahoma, that the humanist organization helped out, the lady whose son had been given the Bible?
Right.
By a third party, somehow or another, I got a hold of somebody who knows her, and now we're kind of talking just on the Facebook end of it. And I'm going to try to hook up with her and talk to her. I know that's been a couple of weeks now, but it's still pretty relevant because she's still in that town. She's still surrounded
right.
by all those people that hate her. She's trying to get out of there. She's trying to sell her home. But, you know,
that's
you're in Duncan,
really
Duncan yeah, Oklahoma. You know, not a lot of people want to go to Duncan, Oklahoma. I just feel so bad for that lady. I'm going to try to get a hold of her and try to talk to her. And, you know, I don't know what I can do, but I would like to hear what she has to say about it.
And I'm sure all the even verbal support she can get would help tremendously.
Exactly. So maybe if we did something, we'll have to look into what we can do to give her at least, you know, some moral support there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's
a
really tough situation.
Oh, I know. Can you imagine that? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, literally fearing for your life and for your family. She's got three kids. You know,
right.
I believe she's a single mom. There's no mention of her husband. I just can't imagine being in that situation. It's like being in another country, in a foreign country, you know?
Absolutely.
She's living in enemy territory, basically.
That's exactly how I was thinking it.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You had a question, Tom?
I have a question for you, Robert, and I mean this sincerely. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to pump you up or make you feel good, but you are really involved, and I'm on the web a lot, and you have a lot of things going on right now. How do you do it? And now you have secular yakking on top of all the other stuff. I mean, you have the newspaper that you put out.
Right.
How do you do all this? I mean that sincerely. Do you like block away like hours of your day to devote to this, or how do you do it?
Well, luckily, I've got a little bit of free time here and there. Right.
At work.
At a place that pays me to do stuff. And in between doing things, I can do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's about as far as I'll go on that.
when you're with us, you're also stuck in your phone.
Yeah,
you're so happy.
I'm on my phone. I'm on my
you're
computer.
You're happy for a smartphone.
Yes. But you know, like that newspaper I put out, that's actually a news aggregator that is automatic. So I tell it what to put out and what to search for, and it does it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome because I get a lot of news that way. That was part of why I started that, so I could get my own news. And I didn't have to go looking
right.
for it. It came up in my feed. The Original Motto Project, it takes a good deal of time to do that. That's kind of a labor of love on that one.
Yeah, you've been really
mm-hmm.
involved in that lately.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did take a couple of days off in preparation for this show, but luckily city councils have their meetings almost always on Mondays or Tuesdays.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
you do take, you know, time off or plan things around so that you can get as many invocations done as well.
Right, and weddings.
And weddings, yes. We just did one last night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Which is why I scheduled this for 10 p.m. on a Sunday night, because I don't work Mondays, so I can stay up and do what I need to do.
And still have a life to get things done.
And now you drug your wife into it. Oh, boy.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that happened yet.
What's the pay like? Is it paying you, Amy? What's the pay situation?
I'm getting labor out of him. Finally getting some project done that's needed desperately. Although this was like kind of, we kept talking and saying, you know, eventually someday. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, guess what? I have this scheduled for Sunday night. I'm like, wait, what?
I figured that was the only way I was going to get her to do it.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's cheating.
Well, yeah, you got to... I don't know what the going rate is for co-hosts, but you're doing a really fine job. You know, you guys have been on the air now for half an hour, and it sounds great. I mean, it sounds very natural. I mean, I can tell you guys talk a lot about, not only that you talk a lot, but you talk a lot about this kind of stuff.
Right, which we do. This takes up a good deal of my mental capacity.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
a lot of conversations while we drive.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And, like I said, because of where I live, it's a 30-minute drive to somewhere.
Yes, just to go to the store.
So there's always lots of talking.
I understand. I'm in the same situation up here on the rock.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, I know. You guys have quite a drive.
Yeah, but it's so worth it.
Though. Yeah, it is. All right, well, thanks for calling, Tom.
Well, thank you, Robert, and thank you, Amy, and I'm really enjoying the show, and I know it's going to catch on. We'll put the word out.
Oh, great.
All right.
Great, thank you.
Thanks,
hopefully,
Tom.
After our first show, it'll be a smooth sailing from here.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
all right,
been pretty
again,
smooth
Tom.
Already. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so back to the show. Which it appears we are really out of time.
I was going to say, I do believe this is the end of the show.
Yes, it is. We went over a little bit. If you want to talk to us and we're not on live, you can leave us a voicemail at 201-596-4378. And you can check out our YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, which will be coming up soon. I haven't quite built those yet, but they're on their way. And your comments and suggestions are always welcome. You can help support us at our Patreon page. All the links, when they're available, will be on the show notes. Music you heard tonight was Reveille by the United States Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps. And we'll be back next week with more church and state issues, secular fun, and commentary by us.
And all current events that are found.
Until then, just remember, the government of the United States is not in any sense founded.